Well, it is a good evening to you, and now you be at 9:05, 20 seconds to go right along with it, Tuesday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here, you there. Paulie Rosenberg and Connor Green, they're on the other side of the glass, and the 1-877-337-6666 for another one-hour schmooze right up until JR at 10. On your fan, New York City.
Baseball is pastoral. Baseball is played in a park. Baseball has no time limit.
Hey, Costello, this telegram is from Joe DiMaggio. Listen to this.
Sitting on a red hot stove, it's gonna be fine. Sitting on a red hot stove, it's gonna be fine. Know it,
baby. Have it. That's the news I've been waiting for. I'm going to be a big league ball player.
Yes.
DiMaggio probably heard about my playing with the Cucamonga Wildcats last year.
You a ball player? I don't believe it, Costello. You know nothing about ball.
Oh, no. I eat baseball. I live baseball. All night when I'm asleep, I dream about baseball.
Don't you ever dream about girls?
What, and miss my turn up at bat?
Oh!
And joining us now to talk a little bit with the hot stove is Cliff Corcoran, and he is with The Athletic. And Cliff, thanks a lot for giving us a couple of minutes of your time.
Happy to be schmoozing with you, Steve. I used to listen to you on the overnights, and you're talking about Mel Hall and Louis Spallone.
I don't get it. But you're showing your age.
I am, aren't I?
Yes. Well, of course, the big rumorizing today, and of course the speculation and the guesswork, has to do with something that you wrote about with Robinson Cano. Is he coming back to one of the two teams in New York City?
I don't think he necessarily is, but if he's going anywhere, it will be to one of these two teams in New York City. The Mariners are stripping down. They are eager to get rid of that bad contract and really any big contract that they have. Cano has a complete no-trade clause, and from everything that we've heard, the only place he really is interested in going is back to New York. The Yankees might have a little hole at second base with Gregorius out for at least half the year with Tommy John surgery, sliding Gleyber Torres over to shortstop. They could also maybe use him at first base where he finished the year at the Mariners. And the Mets have shown some interest. They both have bad contracts to deal that could counter out some of the money, whether it's Jacoby Ellsbury or Jay Bruce. There is potential there. I don't expect it to happen, but if it happens, it'll be to New York.
Well, here is the doubting Thomas part of me, because I'm always thinking that the Mets are going to make some kind of noise going after a big fish or two, and then, Cliff, do nothing.
I think that's a pretty good bet. the difference is that they have a new GM who's looking to establish himself, and kind of a cocksure GM in Brody Van Wagenen, a former agent who's supposedly kind of strutting his stuff into every other general manager's, you know, inbox. Maybe he wants to make a big move to show something. Maybe that's the way why he's shopping Syndergaard. Maybe that's why he's talking about Cano. Again, I kind of agree with you. I don't think that either of those moves would be smart for the Mets. I think that, for example, Cano is owed $120 million. Even if you cancel some of that out with the Mariners kicking in and Jay Bruce's contract, there are better places. If the Mets continue to be as kind of tight with the purse strings as they have been in recent years, there's better ways for them to spend that money. Whether it's maybe going after Yasmani Grandel at catcher and some bullpen pieces or something like that, then committing to Robinson Cano through his age 40 season. There are smarter things for them to do.
Somebody a little while ago brought up Yan Gomes. Grandel, he is a pass ball waiting to happen, Cliff.
Grandel had a bad postseason, and it kind of got into his head. We kind of all saw it in his eyes there, but that's not who he is as a player. He's a veteran. He's a very good behind the plate, typically. One of the better offensive catchers, a switch hitter, top of the market guy. Now, the thing is, he's the top free agent catcher on the market. Maybe a deal for Gomes would work in some way. Gomes is a little more sporadic with the bat, good defensive catcher, but he's coming off a good year, so you're going to be buying high on a guy who hasn't always been consistent at the plate rather than behind it. But certainly upgrading catcher, things like that. You know, the Mets have some quality young players. They've got the good arms in the rotation. Again, there are smarter things for them to do than make a big splash with a Cano or a Syndergaard.
All right. What about with the Yankees, Cliff? With Daniel Murphy, it seems like he would be certainly cheaper than bringing on the last 5 years, $120 million or so with the Cano. And here's a Daniel Murphy who could play first, who could play second, who could be a DH, who could drive in for the first time in a year or two for the Yankees, a runner in scoring position with a drive up the gap, a base hit. What about Daniel Murphy? What's the latest with him?
I haven't heard too much about Murphy, but I think that does make a lot of sense, particularly, like you say, with the little bit. He's not a good defensive second baseman.
No.
But, you know, they went with Neil Walker last year, kind of a similar, not a similar bat at this stage in their careers, but similar defensively. Murphy is a guy who, like I said, with Torres sliding over to short, you can put him at second base. When Didi comes back, you slide him over to first. He's probably not going to demand much of a long-term deal. He's going to his age 34 season, coming off a season that he lost a lot of time to injury. So hopefully you can get him on a short deal. And then you can think about, well, do we want to trade Murphy? Do we want to keep Murphy at first base? Do we want to extend Gregorius because Didi's going to be a free agent after the coming season? And there's more options rather than, like you say, tying yourself down to a long-term deal with a 40-year-old Robinson Cano 5 years from now.
Now, the Yankees, and we will get to Syndergaard and Real Muto and Goldschmidt. I understand that Corbin was visiting in Philadelphia today.
That is the word. The Phillies are expected to be extremely aggressive this offseason. You know, they took a big step forward early last year, fell apart at the end, but it's a good team. They have some issues with defense. Adding a big starter like that would certainly help them quite a lot. We saw them go out and get Jake Arrieta last year. They're expected to go after most of the big fish out there. I don't think they're going to go after Grandal because they have Alfaro. But, you know, in terms of starting pitchers, in terms of Machado, in terms of Harper, the Phillies are going to be aggressive, bringing in Corbin early, bringing him into, I almost said the vet, going to show my age again, bringing him into Philadelphia. I think that's what they're going to do. They very likely may land him.
Are the Indians going to trade either Carrasco and more so Kluber?
The Indians, that's the big rumor coming out of Cleveland, is that they want to move a starter to add an outfielder because they have nothing in the outfield. They can't really afford Bryce Harper, and I'm not sure Harper's really a good bet for a mid-market team, a guy who's disappointed a lot, certainly all the talent in the world, but he's going to cost a mint, and I'm not sure that's a guy I'd want to bet on if I'm a team that has to think more about bottom line in terms of salary. But they desperately need something in the outfield, and they have a pretty deep rotation, so there's a good chance there. I mean, Carrasco's the guy. If I was the Indians, he's the guy I'd deal. Kluber has, I think, 3 years of team control remaining on his contract. Carrasco has two. Kluber is just, in the Cy Young conversation every year. And in terms of age, they're less than a year apart. I think everybody thinks of Kluber as an older guy. But at the same time, saying all that, Carrasco's going to bring you back less. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I haven't heard too much specific in terms of rumors on that yet, but that's certainly the big move that Cleveland is looking to make.
Talking with Cliff Corcoran of The Athletic with the Hot Stove, Madison Bumgarner, we're hearing that the Giants with a new GM might make him available.
And they should. That's a move that really should happen. I know it's a franchise guy, World Series MVP, and this is a team that is in decline, regrouping, and you don't necessarily, you want to give the fans a reason to come out to the ballpark, and that's going to be Bumgarner and Posey, maybe for the next couple, well, really just 1 year, because Bumgarner's going into his walk year, and that's the issue, is that really, if they have a terrible farm system, they need to trade a big guy like that to get something. I don't think that Bumgarner is necessarily going to re-sign there. I don't think that they necessarily have, what it takes. And also, the thing about Bumgarner is he's got a lot of miles on his arm. Even though he's still a fairly young guy, He's got a lot of miles on his arm. Each of the last 2 years, he missed half the year due to injury. One of them was a fluke, but one of them wasn't. And, you know, it may be that before everybody realizes that, you know, maybe this guy's used up a lot of what he's had, they might want to cash him in and get something. With the new GM there, the turnover in the front office, I think it might finally happen. The Giants have, for years and years and years, kept bringing their guys back. They always re-signed Aubrey Huff. They re-sign everybody. They keep their guys. But I think you might see, with the new GM, a new approach.
And you're right. They kept Matt Cain forever. They brought back Jake Peavy. When they had shown everybody in the National, well, everyone in Major League Baseball, that they were all said and done. The Yankees want to get two guys. Now, they got Paxton from Seattle. Are they going to go out and get another one?
That is the expectation. That's what Brian Cashman has been saying from the very beginning, that he wanted to get two high-end starters. He got Paxton early, which helps. They want to trade Sonny Gray, and they're not going to get a high-end starter in exchange for Sonny Gray, of course, but that frees up an extra spot potentially in the rotation, could potentially give them a little something else there, you know, maybe a three-way deal that they can get a prospect back for Gray and flip him in another direction if they want to make a trade. Bumgarner is a guy who could be in the mix there potentially. Or, you know, they go out after some of the big fish in the free agent market, because there's some decent guys out there with Corbin and Keuchel, and those are both lefties. Jay Happ, who the Yankees had at the end of the season, you know, the Yankees like their lefties, and the top of the free agent pitching market, starting pitching market right now, is heavily left-handed. I do expect them to land another starting pitcher.
Okay, and we're always the biggest fish. I mean, we're talking Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, one, depending on, Cliff, depending on what day it is and what time of day it is or what time of night it is, you hear Machado to the Yankees or Bryce Harper to the Yankees or Bryce Harper to Philadelphia, or Machado to Philadelphia and Bryce Harper to the Yankees. What's going to be with those two?
That's good. I don't have a clear sense on that. I would be surprised, honestly, to see either of them wind up with the Yankees. Of the two, Machado makes more sense because, again, of that kind of rotation in the infield where they've got an empty spot. They can swing guys around. They could put Machado at shortstop until Didi gets back. They could move Andujar across the infield if his defense is a problem and doesn't get better. And then, you know, I mean, Machado has shown in the past, at least, to be a much better defensive third baseman than shortstop. He's the guy who makes sense. Their outfield is overcrowded as it is, and I don't really think Bryce Harper makes sense there. How they're going to clear up space. In terms of other teams where they might go, again, Philadelphia is expected to be aggressive. There's a potential, because the thing about these two guys, the reason they are such big fish is because they are so young. They're going into their age 26 season, which means you get another 5 years, basically, of them in their 20s. So a team like the White Sox, that's been rebuilding and thinks it might be a year or two away from contending and has not a lot of contracts on the books and is in a big market, they could go after one of these guys. I mean, there was talk at the beginning of the offseason, the White Sox might go after both of them. So you could see, and that's kind of similar to the market, some of the rumors that we've seen about Syndergaard, teams that have interest in him because he's got 3 years of team control left, is that the rebuilding teams like the Padres are interested in these guys because of youth and because you still have lots of prime years left. They're not necessarily as great as they are in terms of talent and impact, not purely a win-now signing.
What is your take? Because I did want to bring up Syndergaard. I'm glad you did. And we have heard with San Diego, with the rumorizing their Cliff. What is your take with an agent who did represent Noah Syndergaard, now on the other side of the fence, possibly trying to deal him? What is your take with the new GM of the Metropolitans?
It's very interesting to me. The thing about trading Syndergaard, if you're the GM, or I'm the GM of the Mets right now, trading Syndergaard now makes no sense to me, because he's coming off a season which he threw less than 160 innings, 25 starts. He's had 2 years in a row that he's missed significant time. In his four major league seasons, he's only qualified for an ERA title once. We know how good he is. We know, you know, he's the Greek god. He's the guy with the flowing locks and the 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and we've seen him be dominant on a major league mound, but we haven't seen him be a workhorse who's reliably going out there every day and doing it. And if you're going to trade this guy with 3 years here's the team control left, it doesn't make sense to do it coming off a partial season. I'd rather have that guy go out, throw 180-plus, 200 innings, and become that superstar, and then if the team isn't going in the direction you think, or there, you're selling much higher. You know, so why would you sell effectively on a guy with all that talent. And the only reason that I could see to do it is because you don't believe he's ever going to be that guy, mm-hmm. whether because of health or other reasons, that he's not going to make that leap. And does Brody Van Wagenen have a reason to believe that? I don't know, but it certainly makes you wonder.
And I'll tell you what, it was mind-boggling to hear, Cliff, for early in the hot stove season, that Syndergaard could be going to the Chicago Cubs for Chris Bryant.
Yeah, I don't think that. That seems like one of those, right. kind of a WFAN call-in proposal.
Wait just a second. I thought you were going to put it on me. Wait a minute.
Not you particularly, but it sounds like something I used to hear on the overnight, the call-ins. But no, I don't see that happening.
No, absolutely not. Do you see Chris Bryant going anywhere?
No, I don't think that the Cubs are going to trade Chris Bryant. That's a superstar player. He had a bad year with some injuries. Unless they know something about his health, which they would have to disclose in any sort of trade situation anyway, I don't see Chris Bryant going anywhere.
All right. How are the Mets going to get better if they don't trade one of their top stars? And one of their top stars to trade is somebody from their pitching staff. And that's why you hear so much with San Diego and Syndergaard and possibly some other teams as well that may get into the mix. How are the Mets needing a third baseman, needing a first baseman, needing a catcher, needing another power bat for not having Cespedes, needing bullpen help, including a closer? How do they get better?
Well, Machado is an interesting option right there in terms of a power bat and a third baseman in one single swoop. If the Mets don't think they can afford that, well, for one thing, they've got Peter Alonso as a potential first baseman power bat. You know, the thing about Van Wagenen is he came in and he said, we're going to get better, we're going to compete right away. And I don't know if that's necessarily the best approach. Maybe a 2-3 year plan. Again, with some of these young players like Alonso coming up and you get him in the lineup in next 2020 or 2021, you're looking at maybe that gels or maybe it doesn't, but you got to give that team a little bit of time. In the short term, like I say, you've got a pretty good crop of free agent catchers out there. Grandal's an option. You know, if they have the money, if they're talking about Cano and they have the money to take on a portion of Cano's contract, and they have the money to sign a few relief pitchers, they have the money to sign somebody like Grandal, and then you get Alonso at first base and you hope Frazier bounce back and some of the younger guys like Rosario show some improvement. You've got, you know, Conforto hopefully healthy and good for a full season. Nimmo did fantastic things last year, et cetera, et cetera. And you stick with the starters you have, and there's a chance for something to happen there. If there's more money there, then maybe you look at a Machado. If there's nothing there, then you're not going to be competitive next year.
See, this is the whole thing, and I know you would understand, because a Metropolitan fan knows that, yes, the Metropolitans need to spend some money, maybe even to overspend. But when the name Manny Machado comes up, it only has to deal here in New York City with the Yankees, because not too many Metropolitan fans think, even with a new GM who wants to be aggressive, wants to win more sooner than later, most, as you could understand, Cliff, most Metropolitan fans don't think the Wilpons are going to spend any real money at all for people like Machado.
And that's very likely the case, and it's a really a sad fact. Year after year, we keep talking about this with the Mets and the Wilpons, and the fact that they should be competitive for guys like that. I mean, they've got a perfect situation with Todd Frazier, $9 million, 1 year left on his contract. You slot Manny Machado in there, he's the successor to David Wright. He's a 26-year-old stud, power-hitting, slick-fielding third baseman. It's the perfect situation. The fact that the Mets can't even be competitive for that player really speaks to what's wrong with the franchise.
What you're basically saying is that every Major League Baseball team needs at least one player who doesn't hustle. And here's the thing, though. He wants to play shortstop, not third base. What would you do with Rosario?
Well, exactly. Well, the thing with Machado is, you know, I think the money's going to talk. But, of course, the Mets, again, if you're not even in the conversation, you're certainly not going to spend the extra little bit that's going to say, hey, you know what, Manny, we'll give you this extra little bit. Come and play third base for us. He wants to play shortstop, and he played a better shortstop once he got to the Dodgers last year. He was a bit of a disaster there with the Orioles, at least according to the numbers, but he got better. Certainly, we know he's got the athleticism to do it. The thing is that when he was at third base, he was all world. He was arguably the best defensive third baseman in the majors. So, you know, I'd like to see him, just as a baseball fan, go back to third base, because we were not seeing the kind of spectacular play at shortstop from him that we saw at third base. But, you know, I think it's going to come. I think both positions are in play for him. He wants to play shortstop, but the money's only going to show up from one or two teams. And if one of those teams wants him to play third base, I think that's the way it's going to wind up.
Well, let me ask you about two others, and then we'll let you go. And again, we're talking with Cliff Corcoran of The Athletic. Paul Goldschmidt, available. Boy, you think the Mets could use a first baseman like him?
Certainly. Anybody could use a first baseman like, except with the possible exception of the Braves and the Cubs, just about anybody could, or they get the Reds too. The first baseman like Paul Goldschmidt, he's a great player. He's going into his walk year. You know, I'm a little disturbed at the fact that the Diamondbacks are looking to deal him. Now, yes, it's a walk year situation. He's going to his age 31 season. Maybe they don't want to spend a lot of money to keep that player into his mid-30s. I understand that. You get more if you trade him now with the year left than you would at the deadline if they're not competitive, or certainly better than free agent compensation, which would be a draft pick. But, you know, we're talking about the Diamondbacks were a team that were in first place for 125 days last year. They were in first place on September 1st, and they're talking about trading the best homegrown player in franchise history and being non-competitive and leaving us with three non-competitive teams in the National League West. That's problematic to me. Nonetheless, it seems to be the case. In which case, you know, I think the Astros are kind of out front on the Goldschmidt rumors right now. He'd be a good fit with the Yankees. He'd be a good fit with the Mets, but I think the Mets would be smarter to see what Alonso can do, because, again, I think that's their route. And rather than expending prospects to get 1 year of a walk-year guy, because that's a win now. You've got 1 year, Paul Goldschmidt. Great player, but you have to win in that 1 year, right, or you've wasted the guys you sent to get him. And I don't think the Mets are going to do it.
Yeah, and I don't either. And he started off, correct me if I'm wrong, he started off, I think, 0 for April and 0 for May, and then started making contact and then couldn't make an out for the last three or so months of the season.
But at the end of the year, he got his numbers back up to the usual place. He's a fantastic hitter. The past 3 years all pretty much looked the same, and the 3 years before that, he was even better. He's in the MVP conversation every year. I don't expect anything less from him. He's an excellent fielder. He's an excellent base runner all around. I mean, this is one of the best players in baseball, no question. The fact that he started off slowly last year, maybe it speaks well to the fact that he was able to recover from that and put up those usual numbers.
All right, one more player, and of course, if not the best player, with Derek Jeter with Miami. Where is JT Realmuto going to end up?
He's going to go to whoever doesn't wind up getting Grandal. To me, the Dodgers make the most sense. The Dodgers have a pretty rich farm system. They've got Grandal, who just left them as a free agent. He hasn't necessarily left, but he's not on the team anymore. Now, the interesting situation here is Realmuto is a guy that I do think the Marlins need to trade now. The Marlins' horizon for competing is not within the next 2 years, and they only have 2 years of control left over him. He is arguably the best catcher in baseball. He's good defensively. He had coming off his best year at the plate. He's going into his age 28 season. He's probably never going to be more valuable with the 2 years of control left. Even if he has a very good 2019 season, 1 year of control is going to be worth less. So now's the time to deal. And the Marlins are asking for the world, for the sky, but they did that with Christian Yelich, and they eventually brought it down to get the deal done with the Brewers. They're going to bring it down to somebody's price. Somebody's going to meet that price, and to me, the Dodgers are the team most likely to meet it from here.
Andrew Miller coming to the Mets?
Sure, why not? Andrew Miller is a guy that, you know, as great as he was, he had the knee problems. He's got some miles on the arm. Not necessarily a buy low because the name recognition is big, but it's not a guy that I would necessarily want to count on. But for a team like the Mets, you know, if they can get a little bit of a discount on him, throw him in the bullpen and hope it works out, hope his knee holds up.
So basically what you have been telling us for the last half hour or so is that the biggest hot stove news is not going to be Brian McCann going back to the Braves.
I would certainly hope not. That would be a pretty boring winter for all of us.
Cliff, thanks an awful lot, not only for listening back when you were listening, but thanks a lot for being with the talking this time around, and I can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes of your time.
Thanks so much, Steve.
You got it. Cliff Corcoran of The Athletic with a little bit with the hot stove. With the Yankees, the stove top, the four burners are always with the gas on, always burning, and you want to get the Metropolitans away from the microwave and get onto that hot stove and do some things for real, not just with the rumorizing and speculation and the guessing. You want to see the Metropolitans spend a little money if they have to and make the moves they need to make 2019 and beyond worthwhile.